can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news, my head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Okay, well, we're back here. And this is Ralph Winterroad. Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. And we're headed off to the Federal Court of Claims. We're going to go after notices of federal tax liens. And we're going to win at some point. I guarantee you. It's going to happen. I've got to get it put together. I know what to do, I think, now. I've got all the stuff to put it together. But anyway, getting back on point here, because I also want to get to a preliminary examination before we get through today with today's show. You go look at these complaints that they file against people with reduced to judgment. They will cite three constitutional things. There's nothing wrong with 1331. It says district courts, except that you got to know what the definition of district courts is, but it says it's under the United States, Constitution of the United States. 1340 cites Act of Congress. That's for the code section, 1340. So that's laws of the United States for providing internal revenue. Okay, that's for citizens of the United States. That's for a different class of people, as long as you know how to read it. And 1345 said district courts, and that's commenced by the United States. Doesn't say United States of America. So you cannot hold the United States and the United States of America are the same, because the unambiguous statutes of Congress that are codified here are very, very clear. And we know when it started. And we know why it started. Well, what's a district court? Best case I've found is Wells versus United States, 214 F2D 380. 214 F2D 380. Fifth Circuit, 1954. The term district court means only those courts which are created under Article 3 of the Constitution, and it says, and which are constituted by Chapter 5. Well, you got to, it's and. So it separates out those, but then you go to what it cites in footnote 6 is Mookini, M-O-O-K-I-N-I, versus United States, 303 U.S. 201, 1938, really an important case, 303 U.S. 201, 19. The term district courts of the United States, it describes the constitutional courts created under Article 3 of the Constitution. We got it conclusively. 28 U.S.C. 132C, District Judicial Power of the District Court, comes from the territory of Hawaii. It says so. They admit it. Okay, wow. We got a problem here. Your United States District Courts are kangaroo BS. You cannot combine Article 1, Article 3, and Article 4. There's no provision for that. So they got a problem. But the thing that was missing when you challenge subject matter jurisdiction is you have to challenge the authority of that court for the subject matter jurisdiction cited. That's what was missing. I didn't get it. I presume when I challenge subject matter jurisdiction that the court has to examine its own. They do, but you have to point it out and then expose them for what they are, liars and thieves. And Senate Report 96-304, which is the one that did the for the Federal Court of Claims in 1983 or 1982, and the Federal Circuit, it talks about it. But these appellate courts are only based on jurisdiction rather than subject matter jurisdiction, and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals is the only court of appeals that has a national, like the Supreme Court. When they rule, it goes everywhere because it's based on subject matter jurisdiction. That's right in this report. They explain it out in great detail. Oops and oops and oops. We're not supposed to know this stuff. So now when you do subject matter jurisdiction, you must include 28 U.S.C. 132 with these public records that says this is beyond kangaroo. It is under the territory of Hawaii. Yes, so. And they even go so far it's done because of adopted, see if I can find the exact word, adopted procedure or something like that, accepted procedure or something like, some nonsense thing like that. It's hard to believe that we could have got this far. And I have several briefs on this that I publish with the documents in support thereof. And they didn't want to go there. I'm not sure why. Whatever, right? Let's see, I'm trying to find where it says an accepted procedure or something. That's their authority for judicial power of a district court. That is the definition of an inquisitor or star chamber court. And how do they disguise it? They will put into the public record always an affidavit by an IRS agent that has no authority in our several states with a public record. And then, if you do not dispute each and every element of that, you've lost before you even get started. That's how they get these things through, and that's how they get these reduced to judgments without even any sworn testimony. And then what they do, they will depose the person that they're coming after, and they bring that in. And you're done. You don't get to go after the other guy. Because, see, when you go out to these depositions or when you do the books and records, those are nothing more than inquisitions. They get to ask questions. You don't. That's how they pull it off. I got him to admit it in Thornton's case in Minnesota. If you do not immediately get rid of everything, these are like summary judgments is what they really are. When they file in, and if you don't rebut everything by affidavit, you lose. And you have no idea how down the road you lost because they don't tell you. They drag it out for a while, and you say, oh, I'm getting somewhere, and I'll file these motions for subject matter jurisdiction, and I file this, and I file that. And all of a sudden, they put in for a summary judgment, and they grant, and you say, what did I do wrong? It's hard to make this stuff up. This is under 128 U.S.C. 132. It says, except as otherwise provided by law. By the way, by law comes out of the Attorney General, which means everything from administrative nonsense. They still use the Attorney Generals of 1947 or rule. So they make rules of court. You see, in 1934, the rules of court trump all civil rules, trump all statute. In 1940, they trump the criminal, trumps all statutes. Or order of the court. They just do an order. An order now. A mere order. Not a judgment. An order. The judicial power of a district court. Judicial power of a district court. That's the definition of an inquisitor. May be exercised by a single judge. It says so. And they go down in the revisor's notes and they say this comes out of the territory. It's derived from Section 641, Title 48 of the 1940 Code. Comes out of the territory of Hawaii. They say so. In the revisor statutes. Really? That gives me that warm, fuzzy feeling. And they also say this revised section, by extending it to all districts, rarely recognized established practice. So we've been getting away with it. That is their authority under district judicial power of a district court. Can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's so crazy, and nobody has taken them up on this stuff. Why? I got a module on revisor statute. They stand, by the way. This is the way they get away with this stuff. Because they're playing something for what we think we know is not so. And then they use, like in the, this is in the Public Salary Act of 1939, and it's in the report, Senate Report 112. And they talk about, let's see, go down here. At the present time, federal employees are subject to federal income taxes, but are exempt from state income taxes. Notice that, federal income taxes. State and local employees, on the other hand, are subject to state income taxes, but are exempt from federal income taxes. Persons in private employment are subject to both federal and state income taxes, or state taxes. That's not true. That's fine. They just put that in there. But then they go on. You got to go down here and look and see what they do. And this is down, let's see here. These taxpayers are citizens of the United States and are bound to contribute to a support. That they talk that in the GERHARD case. They identify who has to pay. But it even gets a lot better. Let me get down there, because what they did is the Supreme Court, they talk about where we're going to allow each one to tax each other. It says right here, for personal service, an officer or employee of the United States, any territory or possession or political subdivision or of the District of Columbia or any agency or instrumentality of any one of the foregoing, so all the federality folks, by any duty, constitute taxing authority, have jurisdiction to tax such compensation. But if such taxation does not discriminate against such officer or employee because of the source of the compensation, it will be noted that the consent extends to taxation not only by the state, but also by any duly constituted taxing authorities of the compensation to federal officers and employees. We can tax each other back and forth. We're just agreeing to it by contract. Similarly, it says, consent has no effect upon the rights of such officers and employees possessed as individuals under the various state constitutions. So if you're a federality folk, you're done. I'm going to sign you up. But what they didn't tell you, it should be noted that included in the classes of employees to whom the commission may give relief under this section will be the employees of the type involved in the case on Halvering versus Thorell, which is 303 U.S. 218, since the decision of the Gerhardt, G-E-R-H-A-R-D-T, clarified and restated the basis for the liability of such persons for federal income tax. You want to see this report? Ask for it. And I'll give you the Supreme Court case, and it lines it all out. And guess what? Federal income tax. not you or me. And of course, we now have cases to where the federal income tax was only under the excise tax of 909. So income is prohibited by the state law. So they receded it to the states that are in the federal areas to do income tax for the federales. So they hand it over to them. So the states, these fictional states in the federal areas, are collecting for the federal income tax because they can't get past the Supreme Court decision. That's your income tax under the Buck Act. So income is nothing to do with you or me. That's under the excise tax of 109. Federal income tax is Social Security and the 1939 Public Salary Act, where we all agreed to do it. And then the equate income tax is under the Buck Act, which they don't want to talk about. That only uses all 1939 code, does not use any of the 1954, 1980, was 84, whenever it was when they did another change on it. They stick strictly to the 1939 code. We're not supposed to know this. We're not supposed to have access to these legislative histories, be able to read this stuff. We're on a need to know, and we really don't need to know. Well, in this case, that got dismissed up there. They didn't seem to want to have the citizen of the United States issue brought up under the United States of America as a sovereign body politic. There is no counsel for the United States of America. Just filed in, and I got to be posting that here today for the people that are on the list, the case of Toppin in Massachusetts. And that is 4-17-Charlie Victor for civil 40011. And I'm going to be posting that today, later. The judge didn't like our motion to dismiss, so he's going back to the procedural. He never filed an answer. Okay, I can do that. So there was an answer filed. And in the first part, it was really quite simple. Because there's no way you have enough information, because he starts off with the United States of America. Next thing you know, he goes to the United States. Well, I don't know how to answer the complaint with the United States because the plaintiff is United States of America. So we got a great big affirmative defense. Things to bring up why you're full of smoke and mirrors nonsense. But the actual complaint was easy to deal with because it goes to the United States. Well, wait a minute, it's not a party to the action. It says so. I'm just reading what you wrote. Duh. So we'll see what they do with that. Now they'll be coming around. We're going to, we have interrogatories, admissions out, which I posted for the people on the list. Questions that they cannot answer. They're going to say they don't have enough information. Nah. They're going to have to answer these questions. Is the United States the same as the United States of America? All sorts of questions like that. Who is the sovereign body politic of the United States of America, the sovereign body politic? Who is there a constitution of the United States of America? Of the United States of America, not for, of. All sorts of questions like that. They are not going to go there. I have no idea what they're going to do. I know what they should do is say, you know, we got a technical problem here. We're just going to dismiss this with prejudice like they did this other case and say, why don't you all have a nice day? This citizen of the United States is a killer. It's all about that. This whole freaking damn thing is about this nonsense. But boy, that National Voter Registration Act really puts a nail in their coffin. Because it, case, guess what? The 14th and the 15th and the 13th, 14th, and 15th don't have any bearing on the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment is irrelevant. That's not what it said. Back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Okay, well, we're back here. And at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to go over the preliminary examination, but I want to finish this up here with the fundamental rights. This is found in a 1938 congressional record, January 13th. And if you haven't seen it, it's really worth reading. It's unbelievable. It was based on the Slaughterhouse cases, Cruikshank, and 15 Supreme Court cases. And they did a research on it. And here are the rights of the citizens of the United States enumerated. The right, they are as follows: the right to come to the seat of government to assert any claim he may have upon the government, to transact any business he may have with it, or to seek its protection, to share its offices, to engage in administering its functions. The right of free access to seaports through which all operations of foreign commerce are conducted, to the sub-treasuries, to land offices, which we no longer have, to the courts of justice in the several states, which we no longer have, because we don't have no elections for state officers. The right to demand the care and protection of the federal government over his life, liberty, and property when on the high seas or within the jurisdiction of a foreign government. And by the way, that's under 8 U.S.C. 1101. That's a killer to use. 8 U.S.C. 1101A 22B. A is for a citizen of the United States. B is not a citizen of the United States, but you owe permanent allegiance to the United States. And by the way, that's on your passport. It says citizen/national of the United States. Yep. Okay, the right to peacefully assemble and petition Congress for a redress of grievances and the writ of habeas corpus. The right to use the navigable waters of the United States, however they may penetrate the territory of the several states. Oh, we actually have several states back then. All rights secured to citizens by treaties with foreign nations. The right to become a citizen of a state by residing in it. Really? Now we go on to the other side of this, which puts it out in plain English. It's a summary. This case, followed by others, are talking about Cruikshank or the slaughterhouse, in which the principles announced in the slaughterhouse cases were followed to their logical conclusion in strict record with the terms of these amendments. So far, the present argument is concerned not necessarily with to say that the power conferred to the federal government by these amendments was held to be the only power to enforce the prohibitions on state actions contained in them. Prohibitions. The several states has no authority to enact anything by citizens of the United States. Only Congress has this power. These amendments, so far as they relate to the questions now involved, constitute wholly of negations, prohibitions, always on state action and sometimes on federal action. The language of the 14th Amendment is, quote, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges and immunities of the citizens of the United States, nor any state deprive any person of life, liberty, and property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction equal protection of the laws. We'll get down to what that really means. They defined it. Next one, the 15th. The 15th Amendment ordains as follows. The right of the citizens of the United States to vote does not say the elective franchise or the right of suffrage shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, previous condition of servitude. It is now firmly settled, that means it's precedent, that these provisions are directed solely against state laws and state action. That's an important issue. So why are the states legislating? You got to be a citizen of the United States. That's all they legislate for. The states have no authority because they're defined as the state of the United States. That's in the National Voter Registration Act. They're a municipal entity of the United States. Okay, continuing. Through persons or agents clothed with state authority, it is also settled that the power conferred on Congress, only on Congress, to enforce these provisions is a power only to enforce the prohibition against state action. Thus, the rights conferred on persons under them are not positive original rights, but the right only to exemption from and the protection against prohibited state action. The power of Congress to interfere in any case is purely a power of correction. That's killer. A power to give redress against the prohibited state action that the actual exercise of efficient power by Congress under the amendments presupposes state action of the kind prohibited. And until there be such prohibited state action, the power of Congress is wholly dormant. And without such action really being taken somewhere or at some time, the power of Congress would sleep forever. We're not supposed to be hearing about the citizens of the United States. In no case under these amendments, so far as the present controversy is concerned, can the power of Congress be made to reach either for punishment or correction or to redress in any way, civil or criminal, the acts of private individuals. Really? On this last point, the controversy was long between the majority, sectional majority in Congress and the Constitution, but in the end, the Constitution triumphed fully and completely. This provision does not, any more than the one which precedes it and which we have just considered, namely the provision prohibiting a state from depriving any person from life, liberty, or property without due process of law, add anything to the rights which one citizen has under the Constitution against another. Didn't change anything. The equality of the rights of citizens is a principle of republicanism. Every Republican government is in duty bound to protect its citizens in the enjoyment of this principle, within its power. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, well, we're back here, and I want to finish up the punchline here. The duty, let me start at the beginning of this, because this paragraph's really important. This provision does not, any more than the one which precedes it, of which we have considered, namely the provision prohibiting a state from depriving any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, add anything to the rights which one citizen has under the Constitution against another. The equality of the rights of citizens is a principle of republicanism. Every republican government is duty bound to protect its citizens in enjoyment of this principle if within its power. This duty was originally assumed by the states and it still remains there. The duty was originally assumed by the states, and it still remains there. The only obligation resting upon the United States is to see that the states do not deny their right. The amendment, the 14th, guarantees this, but no more. The power of the national government is limited to the enforcement of the guarantee. How in the hell are we legislating in all of these, quote, states? You got to be a citizen of the United States. The, quote, populace, they get us to sign up under the penalties of perjury. This works like the old Star Chamber trilemma, the cruel trilemma. Number one, I am going to get you to confess to what I want you to say. That's rule number one. you will confess to what I want you to say. Number two, it's got to be under the penalties of perjury. Number three of the cruel trilemma is if you do not do that, I'm going to put your butt in jail under contempt of court, or jail you, or take your property, or whatever. Yep. Same thing. So how do they get us to confess? Oh, well, we'll do depositions. We'll do off-premise interrogatory or inquisitions, which they actually say are inquisitions on books and records. You can't ask questions. They ask you questions. That's an inquisition. They get you under deposition. They bring those back in, and then they say, oh, by the way, that rises to a clear and convincing evidence in our court, and you lose. And you have no idea what the hell happened. I'm amazed I haven't got more people wanting this information. I guess maybe they're using it. I don't know. We beat reduced to judgment. It's never been done before. After the judgment was done and there was a motion for the to be signed for sale. And in McAlpine's case, books and records, they walked away. You'll never figure out on either one of them what the hell really happened without a little bit of knowledge, the background, to see what these guys are doing. They do not want this appellate out in the appellate courts for the general published populace to see. I wouldn't either if I was them. Who is United States of America sovereign body politics? Got to be Congress. Because you see, if we don't have any parties to the Constitution of the United States, which that 10th Amendment is irrelevant, they tell us right there in that case. There's the 10th Amendment, there's no parties to it. And the voter registration, National Voter Registration Act. Did you know that the 10th Amendment had been repealed? Or is of no value no more? If you want to be a fictional, sign up to be something else. Absolutely. It has no, the 10th Amendment only has bearing if you know who the heck you are. And you got to put it in the public record. I got to get that status thing done. With all the information I have now, to refile again into the public record. It's self-authenticating under Evidence Rule 901, Number 7. And if they want to say I'm a citizen of the United States, that's a felony, 18 U.S. 911. Oh, really? Okay. Where's your evidence that I'm a citizen of the United States? I could do things under the law of necessity because guess what? We're not going to fix this whole freaking deep state con. We overthrew our republic by saying I want to be a citizen of the United States. It's a statutory creation. It does not have nothing to do with being born on the land. Nothing to do with being naturalized as a citizen of the United States of America. These are complex issues to people. Highly recommend you get on my IRS list if you can't afford it, to send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com or I need support to keep doing what I'm doing, to keep going to court and providing this research. $250 or whatever you can donate per year. Go to Walmart and send it, and I'll email me, irs@alaskaminuteman.com. I don't understand. We're beaten. We beat them. Tell me somebody that's done it. This nonsense of sealed cases and all that's a crock. This other case where we won, it's still open. I haven't sealed it. You just don't know. The average person would not get what happens without some explanation, but that's fine. I'm available to help anybody on the IRS list. I want this information out. I have all kinds of, I got Amateur 1. If you got Skype, I've got Ruling Case Law. These are both still used, which preceded Amateur 1, dictionaries. I got all kinds of things. If you got Skype, they're all free for research. I want to get people involved. You got to fight. We're not going to win all these, but I'm telling you what, we're starting to win, so why wouldn't you want to get in and, I don't know, beat the heck out of me. Anyways, now I want to get into the preliminary examination. There's an awful lot to this, but let me get back to the overview of it. You have to understand, at least for me anyway, I cannot do stuff by rote. Rote doesn't work. This is the problem that we run into when you go into somebody else goes into court and they have to get up and take on these professional liars. You've got to have a real good understanding of what's going on because they are really good at getting you confused. Why is Mueller able to go and get this done? Why do the IRS get all these people indicted in grand juries? Why does that happen? How can it happen? You would think with all the lies that somebody would have a defense against it. Here's the game. And this is in the 1949, by the way, territorial laws of Alaska, which has a great thing, which I'm going to post that to. I'm going to post it with this preliminary examination stuff later today or tomorrow. Why do we have a preliminary examination? If we don't know why, how are we going to know when we're being hoodwinked? The reason that we have a preliminary examination is something called probable cause. Probable cause is a mixed issue of law and fact. Now, the like Mueller or people under his thing that take this stuff to the grand jury, they go, or the IRS, they go straight from the prosecutor. Is the prosecutor a neutral entity? No, he's biased. His job depends on hanging people, as many as he can hang. So the next question is, can the grand jury determine probable cause? I see this so much, I just want to scream like in Ferguson. Oh, we'll go to the grand jury and have them determine probable cause. I'm telling you what, I've been doing this a heck of a long time, and if I was sitting on a grand jury and somebody came in and gave me some statute without some research, would I be able to determine the, quote, probable cause, the issues of law, if the essential elements had been met? They don't ever tell the grand jury that. The grand jury is totally ignorant and incompetent. They're not there to make a determination of the essential elements of the charge. They can't make a determination of probable cause. They lie to them. They just go in there and say, oh, yeah, they use all these words with no term definitions, no nothing. There is no determination of the law. This case, probably one of the best ones. So there's a whole bunch of them, but let's go. Let's see. Let's get the site on this one. This one here is Jaben versus United States. This was done in 1965. It's interesting that they don't say United States of America. It's in the Supreme Court of the United States. Isn't that interesting? So they just say United States. But what they're talking about here is, why do we need a preliminary examination? And this is about an IRS thing. And they're talking about here, establish that a magistrate is intended to make a neutral judgment that resort to further criminal process is justified. They're talking about here the special agent of the Internal Revenue swore he had conducted such an investigation and swore that he had personal knowledge of the petitioner's actual income. Really? So what's the definition of income, sir? Of course, he doesn't know that. The IRS agents are dumber than rocks. They're just zombies trained. There's got to be, and they're quoting in this the rules. So that tells you right there. Why would they quote the rules? They got to satisfy a Rule 3 and a Rule 4 and a Rule 5 of the thing. It says here, it requires enough information presented to the commissioner to enable him to make the judgment on the charges are not capricious and are sufficiently supported to justify bringing into play the further steps of a criminal process. Really? That's the purpose of a preliminary examination. What happens in one? It says, a speedy determination by a disinterested magistrate, the United States Commissioner, that probable cause exists before to provide assurance that the government, in fact, has a case ready for presentation to a grand jury before the limited period expires. So guess what? An independent. It says here, they're talking about here, the court in Gordell or whatever it is, held that a finding of probable cause must be made by a neutral, detached magistrate who assesses independently the probability the accused committed the charges. Independent. Is a prosecutor independent? No, he's biased. He's bought and paid for. He's a criminal, usually, because he's a lawyer. Complaints don't go that far. It says here, in order to make an independent determination the probable cause exists, the magistrate must be presented with more than the fact that an affidavit or his sources are reliable and the affidavit's conclusion of the accused is believed to have been committed. The magistrate or commissioner must also be informed that some of the underlying circumstances supporting the evidence belief is that the accused has committed the crime. To allow a magistrate to find a probable cause when a reliable affidavit does no more than swear, as an agent did here, that his investigation led him to conclude the path the petitioner understated his income is to remove the function of making an independent determination of probable cause from the hands of the magistrate and to place it in the hands of the agent. Understand? Starting to understand how they get this happened? Now, what they did is they put the probable preliminary examinations in Rule 5 and 5.1, the ones that are patterned after the feds. And you know how often they do them? They don't. In Alaska, they call them a pre-indictment hearing. I talked to Rex Buckler, who's a black guy down here. I had several attorneys used to help me and ask questions. He said, it's never going to change until you, the people, wake up. I said, I can't do it. He said, if I do, I lose my bar card. Because the courts in Alaska have been changed to the name of the administrative courts in the Alaska bar. That's black and white. He says, I can't do it. They take my bar card. He says, my wife will divorce me and I'll be homeless. I'm out of a job. That's all I know. He says, it's up to you, the people. He says, I wish you guys would change it because I'd like to see it change too. But he won't go there because he can't. Not if he wants to keep his job. But he talked to me. They won't do preliminary examinations because you see in a real preliminary examination, they have to bring in the law. They have to bring in a witness to testify to the law with the definitions of like income or federal income tax or income tax, which they cannot do, which they will not do. And you then have a right to bring in witnesses on your behalf and testify under oath and your witnesses. And then the magistrate or the judge, whatever he is, will say, now, this is going to be used against you. Are you sure you don't want to change your testimony? Then the judge makes a determination of the essential elements of the law. Is there enough factual information for the essential elements of the law? And I guarantee you the grand jury don't have a frickin' damn clue what the essential elements of a crime is. They don't tell them. So how could they make a determination of law? They have no training in law. So how are they going to make a probable cause determination? This is how they do it. Because you see, under this crazy overthrown government, this grand jury is composed of citizens of the United States. They are not the citizens of the several states. They're not supposed to know anything. The prosecutor comes in here and quite a bunch of stuff and everybody, oh yeah, I got income, I got income tax. They don't have a clue what the hell they're talking about. They never give the term definitions. I've looked at a few transcripts. They never do anything. They say, well, he didn't file this, and well, everybody knows you have to file. File what? Is a citizen of the United States? And what is that? They don't know. This is how I got a whole bunch of misdemeanors. I think it was 6 or 7 of them dismissed when I was arguing over the driver's license and registration and all that stuff. Didn't have a clue, except that I knew that when I got to the jury, as soon as they swore to be citizens of the United States, what they always have to swear to in the federal and Alaska, and I'm sure every state's the same. They have to be, otherwise they can't proceed. You ask them, well, what is it? You're supposed to be an informed jury, and you just swore to something you don't know what the hell it is? Can we have a slight recess? That's where I got 43A's dismissals. Does the average person know this stuff? Of course not. Are we taught this? Of course not. There's a lot of attorneys don't even know this. The reason why we have a probable cause determination, it's called the essential elements of the crime, and the only person that's qualified is somebody that has training in the law, and it sure as a hell isn't the jury. Back in a minute.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just wondering if any of the great products you have, I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Yeah, we're back here, and also somebody sent me $30 in a Walmart card, and I deleted that. So if that person's listening, sent $30 by a Walmart, please email me back at IRS@AlaskaMinuteman.com. I apologize for deleting it. I'm going to get hold of Apple to see if I can get it, but and that's the number. Anyway, it's IRS. And if you want to get a hold of me, it's IRS@AlaskaMinuteman.com. Ralph, I get 500 to 700, 800. It depends. Ads, I got everything of the chicken soup in there. They got my name out there, and I get all kinds of advertisements, and I don't really have the time. I'm liable to miss it, but IRS at AlaskaMinuteMan.com. They don't have that out there. I don't use that for the ads or petitions or none of that, none of this nonsense. We can beat these guys, but it's not easy. And I have the documents. I have the information. Don't have all of it always. Never presume that you know all the answers, because I'm learning every day. But I need financial assistance. I got a $376 Westlaw. I got a $52 Adobe. I got about $100-some Pacer bill. And just like I just got a bill for insurance for my car for a year, $521. This is all off Social Security. Can't do it. I operate off of donations. And I provide all kinds of information. And I'm trying to get this information out there because obviously the federales do not like what I'm doing. So I'm trying to get it spread far and wide to people that want to fight for our republic and get your and do what we can to get our republic back. We're not going to get it all back. Trump can't get it all back for us. It's up to you and me to get off our butts and get educated. And I'm trying to provide the documents, and it's not easy. And if you have listened to the show and you read these documents, give me a call. 907-355-8304, 907-355-8304. But you really need to have the documents, and you really at least spend the time of listening to some of the shows. That's why I do this show, because I can't take the time to explain it in 2 hours what I just did over and over again. But we've just proved we can beat them in a reduced to judgment. We beat them on a foreclosure thing, and there's other cases going on right now. And I'm going to be taking on a quiet title action for Dave Gladden in Dillingham against old Jerry Ball. He's a Seventh-day Adventist criminal. That's going to be happening hopefully this week. By the way, if anybody knows Dave Gladden, he was hit on a bicycle and is in the hospital recovering from a broken femur. So he's out of commission for a little while as far as riding around or whatever. Hell of a nice guy, Dave Gladden. Anyways, we have solutions and information, but it's not easy. But you got to be really precise on how you go about going after these guys. We flushed them out on the books and records. We flushed them out on the reduced to judgment. Now, I've got one in Toppin's case here that I'm providing research in Massachusetts. So we're going to see if we can duplicate it, and we're going to get into the Federal Court of Claims. That's where the fun's really going to start. Tried to take one from a United States District Court to the Federal Court of Claims, and they bumped it out. But interestingly enough, when it was in the Federal Court of Claims, it was counsel for the United States. When it went back to the Fifth Circuit, same attorney, same case, is now counsel for the United States of America in a different court. Now you go figure that one out. I operate on logic. If it's true here, it's got to be true over there. And these guys, they cannot mix United States and United States of America. We are under the government of the United States in the several states. Anyway, hope you learned, found something interesting, and God willing, we will see you next Sunday, and watch out for the federales. They're everywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800- 592-9543. I say again, 800 592-9543. Thank you.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.